chapter 3. I've entitled this today, The Issue That Matters Most. The Issue That Matters Most. Now, I know sometimes we have people who will visit and say, well, you know, the last time I was here, that's what they talked about, and at the Christmas program, that's what they talked about, and all that. Well, that's true. That's true. What we're talking about today is familiar territory to some, but to others, it may be territory that you've never heard before. And, you know, we don't take things for granted around here, and I don't take things for granted, because it wasn't until 19 years of age that somebody asked this question. Are you sure of heaven according to the Bible? Are you sure of heaven according to the Bible? You know, folks, we can learn a lot of things. We can learn how to be good parents from the Word of God, how to be good husbands and wives, and we teach all of that. As a matter of fact, we just got done teaching that here in church recently. How to get along in the workplace, how to have your life blessed by God. We learn all kinds of things. But the focal point of the entire Bible, as a matter of fact, it is the story of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, is this issue. Because, you see, eternity is a long time, and all of us are going to spend forever someplace. We don't cease existing when we die. We're not like a leaf that just kind of dissolves and that's the end of that leaf. No, we go on. We go on. And we're either, each of us is either going to live in heaven for all eternity or we'd live in hell for all eternity. Now, God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. But are you sure of heaven from the Bible? I was thinking this week about what God requires, and I couldn't help but go back to when I was in junior high. And I'm going to call the young man Billy, okay? I don't think that was his name. But when I was in junior high, we had a young man who enrolled, came in a little later in the year, and he came in during the period where in PE, and we called it PE, physical education. But I can remember him coming in ninth grade. He came in right before our unit on track and field. And this guy was absolutely amazing. He was short in stature, and for whatever reason, maybe because he was short, he had a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. But he was a fabulous athlete. He was a fabulous athlete. He could jump higher, such as in the high jump, and he could run faster than anyone. I mean, you know, we had different people who were fast in our gym class. I could scoot along pretty good. I was somewhat of a sprinter. But this guy just blew everybody away. You know, I ran the 50-yard dash. Back then, it wasn't meters. It had to do with feet. Do you remember that? By the way, do you remember how that they said, you know, well, the metric system is going to do away with all that in America? I still don't understand the metric system. But the 50-yard dash. Now, I could do the 50-yard dash right around anywhere between 6 seconds and 6.2 seconds. So I could move a little bit. This guy came in, you know, everybody was doing it, and then he was last, and he ran it in something like 5.6. I mean, he was a bullet. He was a bullet. And when it came to anything having to do with track and field, this guy was fabulous, and he could do the high jump, and because of his stature and because his legs were like springs, I mean, this guy was just amazing. What an athlete he was. And you know, the bar would be set and he would make it, and the bar would be set again and he would make that. Well, I got a little curious yesterday, and I was thinking about him, and then I got thinking about I wonder what the record is for high jump. Well, I'll share it with you. See, aren't you glad you came to church today? You can find out who is the world high jump holder. It's somebody by the name of Javier Sotomayor from Cuba. He is the current men's record holder with a jump of 8 feet, 0.46 inches. Okay, so just over 8 feet. Okay, he is, and he did that in 1993, and it is still standing as the record high jump up to this point. Now, that is a fabulous thing. And hold on to that, okay? Hold on to that truth, that fact, because I'm going to take you someplace else. I'm going to take you from that, and we'll return to him in just a minute. But I'm going to take you into the spiritual realm today. And there are four basic things I want to emphasize today. Four great truths from the Bible I want to bring to your attention. And the first one is this, because as we look at mankind, we see first and foremost that there is a great need. All right? There is a great need. What is the need? Well, for us to get to heaven, For us to get to heaven, the need we have, according to the Bible, is we need to be as righteous as God to get to heaven. Now, you may have never heard that before, because most people think, well, you know, as long as I do my best, as long as I try, as long as I'm sincere, as long as I'm religious and go faithfully to church and so forth, then I've got my chances. I've got my chances. Well, the truth of it is, friend, God requires, okay, He doesn't say you have to be good to get to heaven. He says you have to be perfect to get to heaven. Now, it doesn't take a long time for us to understand that we all fall short of that. Not just good, but perfect. And I couldn't help but think of Sotomayor, okay? Here's this guy who's got this incredible record, 8 feet, 0.45 inches. But, you know, we can say that and we say, oh, he's the record holder. But here's this. What if I said to that man, or what if we said, okay, you know what? For you to be recognized, for you to make it into the record book, so to speak, what you are going to have to do is you are going to have to jump, do a high jump. The bar is set at 1 mile high. 1 mile high. Do we understand how high that is? He would very clearly say this. Well, he might say no comprende. I don't know. You know, he's from Cuba. But he may say, he says, that's impossible. That's impossible. You know, folks, we've got our things that we have set up in the human realm, standards. And, well, you know, this person says, well, you know, to get to heaven, you can't do these things. Now, you can do these things, but you can't do these things. These things. So we set the bar there. And then somebody else say, oh, no. The bar's higher than that. The bar is here. This is where the bar is. You have to be able to jump there. You have to be able to clear that in the way you live your life, your good works. And somebody else will come along and say, no, you know, you guys have got it all wrong. The bar is actually higher than that. You have to clear this bar. And what we end up doing, and here's the trouble we run into, we start comparing ourselves with each other. And we say, well, you know, you got to be good. Now, how good do you have to be? Well, you got to be really good. Well, how good is really good? Well, I mean, really good. Well, you know what God says? He says, you want to know how good you have to be? You have to be perfect. Perfect. Now, there's the great need, because you know what, folks? We fall short of God's righteousness. We cannot make it. It's like setting that high jump bar at 1 mile high and say, there it is. Do you want binoculars to see it? There it is. And that is the standard. Now, most of us would have the sense in saying, you know what? There's no way. But you know what's amazing to me today? If people are still thinking the standard of perfection that God requires, that they somehow, if they work hard enough, God will settle for that. No, God actually requires sinless perfection in His eyes to get to heaven. But the Bible tells us we're all sinners. In Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The story is told of a time when Sir Arthur Conan Doyle decided to play a practical joke on 12 of his friends. He sent them each a telegram that read this, and I quote, flee at once, all is discovered, unquote. Within 24 hours, all 12 of his friends had left the country. Now think about it. What does that tell us? What that tells us is what? We all know we're guilty. We all know there are things. You know, somebody has said the only difference between the guy in jail and the guy in the street is the guy in the street hasn't been caught yet. Well, there's some truth in that. See, the truth of it is we are all sinners. We all fall short of God's standard of perfection. The Bible says no sin can dwell in heaven. God is holy, God is righteous, and God is pure, and our sin is an offense to Him. And God requires us to be holy, righteous, and pure in His eyes to get to heaven. Now, you might say, well, you know what? This is making me kind of uncomfortable. Well, yeah. And I can remember the first time I heard this, when the man said, you know, heaven is a perfect place and you've got to be perfectly righteous to get there. And I thought, well, you know what? I consider myself to be a decent person, but I also understand I'm not as righteous as God. Let me show that to you, by the way, in the Bible. Look with me over to Revelation chapter 21. And it says in verse 27, Revelation 21, in verse 27, the context here is talking about the eternal heaven, what is coming in the future. And it says this, it says, and there shall in no wise or no way enter into it, heaven, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now you might say, well, you know what? I'm okay because I've never worked an abomination. But you know what? You know what God says in His Word? A proud look is an abomination to God. In other words, when we have pride, that's an abomination to God. You know, we think in terms of abomination, you know, the big list of things, such as, you know, cursing God to His face and all these kind of things. Well, certainly that is. But the truth of it is, an abomination is anything that violates the holiness of God, according to Scripture. Now, we've all done that, haven't we? And if you don't believe you've done that, look at the next one. It says, or maketh a lie. How many of you have ever, sometime in your life, told a lie? Would you raise your hand? Sometime, everybody's told a lie sometime in your life. You might say, oh, no, I've never done that. Let me ask you this. Have you colored the truth with somebody to make them think something else? Well, maybe. How about those of you who fish? Have you ever exaggerated on the length of that? Isn't it amazing how dead fish grow? I'm just amazed by that. They grow. You know what, friend? Listen, the Bible says, not this preacher. What I say doesn't matter. It's what God says. Look what He says. Not even one lie can get into heaven. You might say, oh, but wait, I've confessed it to God, so therefore I can get in. No, here's what God says. Because we've sinned, sin has a penalty that goes with it. Sin has to be paid for. It's one thing to confess it, but that doesn't pay for it. Confession, you know what a confession is? It's admitting we've done something. You know, when somebody, a criminal, and they say, well, he confessed to this crime, that doesn't mean that it's okay now. Oh, he confessed to the crime, so let's let him go free? No, wait a minute. He violated the law. A punishment has to be acted out, right? A punishment has to be given. I couldn't help but think of such as a speeding ticket. We won't take a survey this morning how many of you have ever received a speeding ticket. It'd probably be similar to how many of you ever told a lie. But listen to this. This is from the Associated Press in 2004. These are the headlines. Minnesota trooper writes a 205-mile-an-hour ticket. A Minnesota motorcyclist opened the throttle and possibly set an informal record for the fastest speeding ticket in Minnesota history. Two motorcyclists were racing on a highway in southeastern Minnesota, unaware that a state patrol plane was overhead. When one of the riders shot forward, the pilot, Al Loney, checked the motorcycle's speed with a stopwatch. Loney timed the racer through a quarter-mile section of the highway. The motorcycle covered the distance in 4.39 seconds, equaling 205 miles per hour. Loney said, and I quote, I was in total disbelief. I had to double-check my watch because in 27 years, I've never seen anything move that fast, unquote. Although no official records are kept, authorities say it was the fastest ticket ever written in the state. Loney radioed a ground-based cruiser.
Yes.
Who intercepted the motorcyclist and arrested the faster rider. In addition to a ticket for 140 miles per hour above the posted speed limit, the rider was arrested on charges of driving without a motorcycle license and reckless driving. Kathy Swanson of the Office of Traffic Safety said unless the rider was wearing the kind of protective gear worn by professional racers, he was courting death at 200 miles per hour. She added, quote, I'm not entirely sure what would happen if you crashed at 200 miles per hour. It wouldn't be pretty, that's for sure, unquote. Ma'am, I got news for you. There wouldn't be anything left, okay? You would be a mess. Helmet or no helmet, you would be a mess at that kind of speed. Now, what's the point? Why am I telling you this? Simply this. You know what, folks? When we violate the law, a penalty has to be paid. That person had to pay the penalty. Now, what if that person would have said this? Well, you know what? I don't know what got into me. I know I broke the law. But you know what, Judge? Would you please let me off because I promise never to do it again. Now, does that pay for the fine? Doesn't do it, does it? It would be good if you never did it again. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't recommend that one bit. If you got caught on County Road 8 out here, I wouldn't recommend that either. But here's the point, folks. We can promise to never sin again, but that doesn't pay for what we've already done. So this is the great need. What do we need? We need a payment for our sin. See, we fall short of God's standard of perfection. The bar is raised at a level that we could never achieve by the way we live our life. You may consider yourself here today, and you know what? Looking out, I bet there's people who live good lives here. You're moral people, you're honest, hardworking people. You may live a good life, but God says good is not the same as perfect. And God requires you and me to get to heaven. He requires us to be perfect in His eyes, 100% righteous. Now, it doesn't take a genius to understand. We fall short. And that's what the Bible says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans chapter 6, if I could have you look at this. Romans chapter 6 in verse 23. God requires a payment. You know what? We have all violated His laws, haven't we? We've already admitted we've lied. That's false witness. That's breaking one of the Ten Commandments. The Bible says if you've broken even one of the commandments, it says you're guilty of all in James chapter 2, verse 10. We've all lied. We've all stolen something sometime in our life. You say, oh, I've never done that. Have you ever cheated on a test? If you've cheated on a test, you've stolen an answer. We've all done things wrong. Most of us have envied our neighbor's goods or wanted our neighbor's goods. Most of us have, we've all done things wrong. We have all violated. Let me ask you this. Have you ever loved anything more at any time in your life than God Himself? We all have. We've all put things before God. See, here's the point, folks. God, yes, He's given us His commandments, and they're a 100% perfectly righteous standard, and we have all violated those commandments. We have broken His commandments, and He says in His Word that we are guilty. We're guilty. We violated what He said, and therefore there's a punishment that has to be paid according to the Bible. It says in Romans 6:23, here it is, for the wages of sin, the penalty for sin, we've all sinned. The wages of sin is death. That would be separation from God forever. The wages of sin is death, it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'll get to that in just a minute. But you see, we have sinned and sin must be dealt with. God is a holy God and there's nothing we can do, according to the Bible, by our good works to remedy the situation. Remember now, let's go back to the motorcycle. Violated the law. Broke the law. And let's say he says, I promise never to do it again. And maybe in his whole life he never does do that again. That still does not pay for the violation he's already done. God says our sin has to be paid for. Now look with me in Ephesians chapter 2. And these are the verses that for me personally made it so clear back at age 19. Ephesians chapter 2. And it says this, it says in verse 8, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You notice, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now, the word grace is an interesting word in the Bible. It means unmerited kindness, unmerited kindness. It is God being kind to us, even though we don't deserve it. That's the idea. For by grace are you saved through faith. You notice how you're saved, how you're delivered from hell. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's a gift. That's an amazing statement. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So you notice our good deeds are not what pay for sin. Going to church will not pay for sin. Being true to your religion, whatever it may be, whether it's Baptist, Lutheran, Catholic, Methodist, that will not pay for sin. Trying to do your best, being a good neighbor will not pay for sin. Now listen, it's good to be good, and we believe in that. We believe in being kind and loving to people and being genuine and godly. But none of that living will pay for sin. God says the penalty for sin. If we stood in God's courtroom and He said, you violated my law, you are guilty of the penalty. What is the penalty, Judge? The penalty is death. You're going to have to be separated from me forever because of your sin. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, you might be kind of at this point, because this hasn't been good news up to this point. But the good news is coming, which leads us to our second point today. We've seen first the great need. What is the need? We need to be as righteous as God. We need a payment for our sin because we have violated God's standard. Therefore, we're not as righteous as God. We fall short of that. And because we've sinned, our sin has to be paid for. So then what are we going to do? I said, well, I'll try to be good. Well, wait, we just read being good won't pay for sin. Well, I'll go to church. That won't do it. I'll get baptized. No, that doesn't pay for sin. God has spoken. The judge has spoken and he says death is the payment, which leads us to number two, the great provision, the great provision. Because there is nothing we can do to save ourselves, God sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, listen, to pay for our sins in our place. He was our substitute. He was our substitute. Everybody here, you can picture this. Let's go back to the courtroom. We violated God's standard. We have broken his law. We stand before him. He says, you are guilty of violating my standard. What is the sentence? What is the payment? Death is the payment. Well, wait, I promise I won't do it anymore. No, death is the payment. Good that you won't do it anymore, but you've already done it. Death is the payment. And so as we are being taken off, here's what happens in God's courtroom, so to speak. His son, God the Son, enters the picture. All right. And folks, listen, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ says, wait, he is the judge, by the way, as well. He says, I will come and what I will do, because I love you and I don't want you to have to pay for this, I will make the payment for you. And folks, that's exactly what Jesus did, because he loves us. Jesus himself came and he died in our place. Okay, well, they sang a song this morning, his life for mine. And this is what the Bible tells us that the Lord has done. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says this, but God commended or displayed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Look at it. Christ died not for himself. Christ died for us. Let me illustrate this morning. He died for our sins. Look up here. If this represents you and me, my wallet represents the sins that we have all committed. God says we are all sinners. Now, remember, to get to heaven, you don't need to be good. You have to be perfect. You know, look at this. This is how you have to be to get to heaven. Sinless in the eyes of God. All sin taken care of. Here we are. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our sin separates us from God. And God says, you're guilty. You deserve to pay for your sin. And by doing that, we'd spend forever separated from God in hell. Nothing we could do that could ever make us perfect. Remember, being good is not the same as being perfect. God requires perfection. So then how are we going to get it to where all the sin is gone? Watch this. Because there's nothing we could do to save ourselves, the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, he came sinless. God is sinless. And when Jesus died on the cross, he took our sin upon himself and he made that payment for our sin. Jesus, it was his life for mine. When Christ died, he took our sin upon himself. He made the payment for our sin. And he came back from the dead to prove it was done. And he says this in his word, that if we will believe, if we'll put our faith in him, he will give us as a gift everlasting life. When we trust him as the one who died for us, that payment he made is good on our behalf. But you must trust him as your payment. See, people, let's say Jesus was to come and say, okay, I will pay the fine. I will pay the penalty for you. And as you're being walked away, okay, to get punished, he says, I will pay the penalty. And you turn around and you say, no thanks, I'll do it myself. You might say, you'd have to be crazy. Yeah, you'd have to be crazy. And you know what, friends? This is the world in which we live in today. What God has done, the great provision God has provided is in Jesus Christ. And when Jesus died on the cross, he made the payment for us. If we will trust in him as the one who did that for us, that payment is good on our behalf. If we will let him be our payment, if we will trust in him as our Savior, he died for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 puts it this way. For he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made, listen, the righteousness of God in him. The righteousness of God. Isn't that where we started today? That perfect standard? See, only God is sinless. But God says He will give us His own righteousness if we will trust in Jesus Christ, the Savior. He will exchange, in a sense. He will exchange. He'll give us His righteousness. He takes our sin. What a deal that is. And this is the great truth of the Bible. So we see the great need. The great need is that we have to be as righteous as God to get to heaven. The great provision is what? Jesus came to die for us. Listen, friend, it doesn't matter what you've done in your life or what you're going to do. Jesus came to die for your sins. I say, you don't know my past. You're right, but God does. And He has paid for all your sins through Christ on the cross. That's the best news in all the world. And so then what is the next issue? Well, it's number three. It's the great offer. And what is the offer? He offers us everlasting life in heaven as a free gift. As a free gift. All right? Now you might say, I can't believe that. What do you mean, free gift? You can't tell me that you don't have to be good to get to heaven. Listen. How good do you have to be to get to heaven? Perfect. I don't care who you are. You're not perfect. Therefore, you fall short. Therefore, you can't go. You have to be as righteous as God to get to heaven. And none of us are as righteous as God. We're sinners. You may not have committed as many sins or as heinous, so to speak, sins as someone else. But we've all committed sins, haven't we? See, people get this idea. Well, you know, I've never raped, murdered, or killed anybody or anything like that. You know, I'm a pretty decent person. Yeah, but we've all told lies, and that's an abomination to God. We've all had bad thoughts. We've all coveted, lusted. We've all done this and that. See, folks, those sins have to be paid for, not just confessed. I've heard people tell me that sometimes. I'll share this with them. I've sinned, but I've confessed those sins. Wait, confession doesn't pay for sin. Confession is simply the admission of sin. We need a payment for sin. You're either going to pay for your own sin or else you're going to accept the payment Christ made for your sin. It's not both. Christ either has paid for your sin or you pay for your own sin. And here's the beauty of it. The great offer is that God offers us everlasting life as a gift. It is a gift because it was bought and paid for by Jesus when He died and paid the price. All we can do is trust in Him to receive that gift. Look with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And I bet everybody in this room sometime in your life has probably seen it or heard this. If you haven't heard the verse, you've seen the sign at the football game. John 3:16. Have you ever wondered what it meant? Let's look at it. Okay? Let's look at it. Matter of fact, you may go home today and watch a football game and there'll be some guy. Look at it. For God so loved the world. Hey, that includes us, doesn't it? That includes you and me. See, God doesn't hate us because we're sinners. He loves us. And He wants to save us. He wants us to give us everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus came to die in our place to pay for our sins. That whosoever believeth in Him. You notice it doesn't say believes and tries to be good. Believes and remember, being good will not take away the sin. It's good to be good, but that doesn't take away sin. Our sin has to be gone. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When we talk about believing in Jesus, we're talking about putting our trust in Him to give us everlasting life. Have you ever trusted in Him and Him alone to give you the gift of everlasting life? That's what the Bible says is necessary to get to heaven. You notice, I'm going to misread it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth and does good works should not perish. No, it doesn't say that. Are good works good? Always. Good works are always good to do. But they will not take away sin. We need our sin gone. And it's a matter of trusting in Christ. You notice two promises to the one who believes or trusts in Christ. You should not perish. That means go to hell. But have what kind of life? Everlasting. Now listen, did you know this? Even if you trust Christ the Savior, even if you don't want to sin, you will sin in the future. We all do things wrong. I still do things wrong. I don't like it, but I still do things wrong. Okay? Here's the point. When Jesus died 2,000 years ago, how many of your sins were in the future? All of them. Why? You hadn't been born yet. Unless you're very old. You haven't been born yet. So if Jesus died for any of them, He died for All of them. That's the good news of this. And when Jesus died, His payment was completely sufficient for all sin. That's why God raised them from the dead, the Bible says, because it was done. When Jesus died on the cross, He hung there and He said, what? It is finished. Paid in full. That's what the word means. Paid in full. You know, there's no salvation in, well, Jesus paid for my past sin, but it's up to me to pay for my future sins. You'll never make it to heaven. You'll never make it. You got to be 100% righteous in God's eyes. Man needs only to believe or trust in Jesus Christ as his Savior to receive everlasting life. Now, again, you may say, well, you know, that all sounds good, but my past is so bad. You just don't know the things I've done. I don't think God could ever forgive me for what I've done in my life. Friend, let me show you some good news. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. I love these verses. I just love these verses. Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 39. Acts 13, 38 and 39. It says this. It says in verse 38, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," now this man in the context is talking about Jesus, "that through Jesus is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Where do we get forgiveness? Through Jesus Christ. When you put your faith in Him, watch what happens. "And by Him, all that believe," that means you put your trust in Him, "all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Look at that again. Remember, what do we see? We see first this morning, we see the great need. What is the great need? God's standard is 100% perfection, and we don't measure up. We've sinned. We've fallen short of the glory of God. And God says our sin has to be paid for. There's a great need. Our great need is, folks, if we die with our sin, we're going to be lost forever in hell. There's a need there. There's a need. What are we going to do about it? Well, there's nothing we can do about it in ourselves. And that leads us to what, as we've seen? The great provision. What has God done? He provided, because we're sinners and we cannot save ourselves, God provided for us the payment for sin so that we don't have to pay for sin. And Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, He paid for our sins. And what does He tell us? He gives us, third, the great offer. And what is the great offer? That if we will trust in Christ as our Savior, all of our sin is forgiven. And God gives us His everlasting life, His righteousness. Well, if you were as righteous as God, could you go to heaven? Yes. Listen, if you were as righteous as God and you couldn't go to heaven, God's got no business being there. You might say, well, that's blasphemy. No, that's Bible. That's Bible. What a thing that God would give us His very own righteousness when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the Savior. And look at it, verse 39. "And by Him all that believe are justified," declared righteous, "from all things from which you could not be justified." Watch this. "By the law of Moses." You know what the law of Moses is? It's the commandments. Have you been trusting in the Ten Commandments to get you to heaven? God says you can't be justified by the law of Moses. You can only be justified by faith in Jesus Christ. It's the only way you can get to heaven. Can't earn it. Remember, you got to be perfect. How high is the bar? Not 8 feet, 0.45 inches. Mile high. In other words, it's impossible for us to make it by our good deeds. But Christ came to die for us because we could never do it on our own. Jesus came, He made the payment, and He offers us eternal life as a gift. And the great Bible teacher of old, Charles Spurgeon, he said this, "To me, it is especially appalling that a man should perish through willfully rejecting the divine salvation. A drowning man throwing away the life belt, a poisoned man pouring the antidote upon the floor, a wounded man tearing open his wounds. Any of these is a sad sight. But what shall we say of a soul refusing its Savior and choosing its own destruction?" Who is going to pay for your sin? You or Christ? Whose payment are you going to accept? Well, God only accepts a death payment. His Son, though, made that payment for you and me, and He offers us as a gift everlasting life because Christ did pay the price. Won't you trust Christ as your Savior? One last point this morning, and it's the great promise. And you notice at the beginning today, I said, are you sure of heaven according to the Bible? There are some people who say, you can never be sure you're going to heaven before you die. All I can say to you is this, yes, you can, and I'm going to show it to you right now. Look with me to 1 John chapter 5, in verse 9. It says this, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Now, what does that mean, the witness of men? In other words, if you'll believe what man says, you certainly ought to believe what God says. When I was in the grocery business many years ago, I worked my way through college working at public supermarkets down in Florida. And from time to time, somebody would come in, and they would come in with a can of vegetables. And on the outside, let's say it says, you know, canned peas. And they would bring that can, and this is the truth. Believe me, this really happened. It didn't happen very often, but occasionally it would. They would bring that can, and they'd go up to the service desk, and at the desk they'd say, "Can we help you?" Say, "Yes, I thought I was buying canned peas, but look," and you open it up, and there's corn in there. The label is peas, okay? The inside is corn. You might say, "How'd that happen?" Well, we won't go into detail. It has to do with production. The issue, though, is this. When that person went to buy those peas, what were they doing? They were believing the witness of man, right? Man says, it's peas, you think. You know, we don't think twice about it, do we? Oh, I'll believe that. But you know what, folks? Man makes mistakes. God makes no mistakes. And what God says to you and me is 100% absolutely the truth. And He says this, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. In other words, you can believe God. If you can believe man, you can certainly believe God. For this is the witness of God, which He has testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, and he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. You're calling God a liar if you don't believe what He says, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now watch verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe, trust on the name of the Son of God. You put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. It says that you may know. Look at that. That you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Friend, God says you can know you're going to heaven when you die if you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you will believe God and what He said about His Son. Believe that Jesus has paid for all your sins. You're putting your faith in Him and Him alone to save you, to give you eternal life. We're not talking about being religious. We're not talking about joining a church. We are talking about how you relate to God Himself here. That's what we're talking about. And when you put your faith, you depend upon the payment Jesus made for you. He will give you as a gift everlasting life. And He says, I promise you, based on my word, He says, you can know you're going to heaven when you die because this is the witness that I'm giving you. This is the record I'm leaving you. Now listen, you have a choice today. You're either going to believe God or not believe God. If you don't believe God, you're calling Him a liar. If you do believe God, He'll give you everlasting life and you can know you're going to heaven. Pastor, do you know you're going to heaven? Yes. Why? It's not because I'm a pastor. It has nothing to do with it. It's because I've simply believed what God said. I'm going to take God at His word. God can't lie, the Bible says. I'm going to take God at His word and put my faith in Christ. Now, you might be here and you might think, interesting. I'll think about it. Friend, the only reason you would think about it is because you think that you have time, right? Well, I'm healthy. Just got checkup. Everything, doc says I'm in good shape and all this. Let me share a story with you. This is the truth. This last weekend, many people in Christianity were shocked. There was somebody who had started a ministry years ago, several years ago, that was a ministry of reaching out to people who were addicted, all kinds of addictions. The ministry that he started was called Reformers Unanimous, not Alcoholics Anonymous, Reformers Unanimous. This ministry was to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the sufficiency of what Jesus Christ can bring into a life and said to the addicted, there is hope in Jesus Christ. The ministry has grown phenomenally, okay? It's the fastest growing faith-based addictions program in the world. And this man is named Steve Currington. Beautiful wife. 5 children. Last weekend, he died at 45 years old. 45 years old. I heard that and I thought, well, one, I couldn't hardly believe it. I mean, a guy full of life. If anybody knew Steve, full of life. How could it happen? Why would God allow that? I don't know the answers to that, but I do know this. Steve had put his faith in Jesus Christ. Steve knew he had eternal life. And you know what? That's the biggest issue of all. That's the issue that matters most, isn't it? See, because we're all going to die. You might say, well, yeah, you know, those old people need to pay attention. Hey, wait a minute. Listen, see, we're not getting it. It has nothing to do with your age. He was 45. There are children in this world that die every day. It has nothing to do with your age. When your time is up, your time is up. The key is that you trust Christ as your Savior before you die, because if you don't, there's no second chances once you've died. Please, put your faith today in Jesus Christ as your Savior. He says in His Word, if you'll trust in Christ, you can know you're going to heaven when you die. No tricks, no fine print, nothing to take it away from you when you're not looking. It's a gift. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Would you trust Christ today as your Savior, friend? Well, friends, that concludes this edition of Voice of Assurance. Thanks so much for listening. And would you share this ministry with a friend? To contact us or learn more about our ministry, please visit www.northlandchurch.com. Your prayers and support for this ministry are greatly appreciated. Thank you so much, and God bless you.